So now I'm like, Mom! Mom's like, hola! Hola! I'm sick! Hola,
shoulda done it! I'm pissed because now I have to be the hero!
So Ola's like, blood, I'm from Birmingham.
You know what it is, the Front Left Podcast, Front Left Football Conversations. You got myself, Tez, and I'm joined with...
Today, Jose.
Every time, I'm kidding. Jesus. Josh, LFTS, in it.
Oh, we've got a guest with us today, Big Uncle O.
Only live active, man. Only live active. If we have to get the anagram on the screen for that joke. O-L-A.
Oh, we got a government, yeah.
You ain't the king of us, man.
King Sapara, man.
Also known as King Sapara.
Yeah, I know by myth, isn't it? Miximus.
Mixer.
All the man them.
Mixer.
God, don't do it. Don't do it. You know what's mad? They're going to watch it. They're going to listen to this.
Obviously. Let
me, you know what's mad? They all know Josh anyway, so go on.
Shout out Mixer. Shout out Blastage. Shout out Ramon. Jamski. All the man them. Triller. I want to shout out to ETAF.
Gala get bang. You know what?
You know, it's mad. Even to play something in Brum, it's not even far from there, around the corner.
Yeah.
But it's changed to Ibis Hotel Budget now.
Okay. Shout out Ibis. What else should I shout out? Oh, yo, Hookley to Ladywood. Winston Green.
Man knows the end, you know.
No, oh, man, this is just what it's Googled, man. Don't listen to this guy, man.
That's where all those links are, man.
Google's a good place, you know, to get information.
Who else can I shout out? Rainbows. Like, I'm out here, man. I'm out here. Bamboo, sort us out.
Trust, man.
101 on the dot.
We're getting Birmingham sponsorship.
Man, sound like a bingo caller.
Curse me.
Josh is going to get an 0121 t-shirt.
Are you a Villa fan?
Nah. You know what though, out of Villa and Blues, I'd probably support Villa more.
Okay.
Villa's got more more ethnicity.
Oh, yeah. Serious?
Within that area.
Yeah.
If you know Birmingham and you know the people who support Blues, like, has anyone ever watched Green Street?
Mm.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that part where the Blues meet the, like, little clash with them? Like, there was that one black guy who was just like, nah.
I've been to Brum, but the people that I've seen the divide and the areas that people live. That's why I said Digbeth to you last time, because that's where my boy lived.
Mm-hmm. Very multicultural in that area now. But it's Digbeth is like a more northern quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's
just the hipster
side of things. Mm. But it's not got a... Don't touch northern quarter. It's elite.
Mm. But yeah, so...
Shoreditch.
Or Shoreditch.
Shoreditch beats northern quarter.
So Shoreditch beats everywhere, man. Yeah, it's got everything at every time. Still. You could go raving at 3 p.m. It's mad.
3 p.m.
Nah, you can't still, but
imagine. Well, I was like, right, that's a bit mad.
Imagine.
Mm. But yeah, so getting into the conversation, tell the people what you're into, what your interests are. Because recently, obviously, anyone who follows me or any of the guys, you know, you've probably seen us repost Mr. King's content out here.
It's mad. So at the moment, for the past year, being back in England, it's been like,
oh, wait, you came back to England?
Yeah, I came back to England.
Let's step back.
Yeah, maybe let's step back. Yeah, that's
okay. So, back in time.
Where did you travel to?
So, April 2019, first place we went to was Thailand in Bangkok. Spent a couple of weeks there.
That's different.
Bro, the rats are huge.
Oh, I didn't know what you were going
to
say.
The rats are massive. Wait,
before we even get to the good stuff, the rats are huge. Are like, the rats size of your cat.
Bigger than the rats that we saw in New York? Because I've never seen rats like that before.
Oh, bro, I shit you not, yeah. I was walking back. I just went to get some late night snack because there's always somewhere open. And I actually had to, like, jump into the street because of the size of the rats. At one point, me and this rat were having it eye to eye. Like, you know, I'm trying to record it and send it to the video.
Are you sure what was you must have it in your country.
Which?
Bus cutter.
Nah.
Because bus cutter is the biggest rat I've ever seen before in my life.
Bro, these are huge.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't, I'm trying to think about
it. Bush cutter, but like, it's a rat.
I hope and no one eats this.
Have you never seen it before? It must be, because I'll show you what it looks like. Bush cutter's the biggest rat I've ever seen.
This might have been the case then.
I think the African term, we call it bush cutter, but the English term is rat.
Mad. All I know is, yeah, I've never been scared of an animal that is usually scared of me. Do you know what I mean? It was mad. But yeah, man, flipping.
So Bangkok, Thailand.
Oh no, sorry, grass cutter, not bush cutter.
That was called
grass
cutter. Yeah. So Bangkok for me was is an interesting place. There's good parts about it and there's bad parts about it, but I feel like because that was my Ras. That's huge.
A big team.
Yeah, I think it was kind of like that, bro. It made eye contact and it didn't let we locked eyes for ages. Like,
so it must be. See, that's
ask Jacob to get it on the screen.
Also, if you type in grass cutter animal,
it'll come up on the video. Won't
these
it?
Are the things that people eat in Africa. Yeah. Or look at that, that's a rat, that's and people mad. Eat that. I remember someone tried to save me grass cutter, fam. When I found out it was a rat,
this is why you
I
need
died.
To reduce
this
your thing. Meat.
Yeah,
one of them.
Grass cutter.
This is why you need to reduce your meat to zero.
These are like African rats. Look at that. Look at that one. Look at that, fam. Imagine I've seen one in the toilet area in the village. Man died.
Yeah, you would.
Nah, that's mad. But yeah, so back to it. So Bangkok was great, you know. We went to this Irish gym as well. Like the guy, sorry, not Irish gym. The guy was Scottish. He owned this gym as well. And it's mad because you being a foreigner, they appreciate you so much more. You're getting picture, bro. I'm there getting a picture with the PT. He's taking a picture with me after my workout. Like, I'm not the biggest guy, but I was the biggest guy there.
Yeah, it was
wild. So I kind of like it's mad because you appreciate how much love you get being a foreigner in those kind of places in comparison to what Ibiza or like anywhere in Spain or Portugal.
Yeah.
Like they like you as a tourist, but you're still in Europe. You're no one special.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a massage. I know you were talking about massages earlier. I had a massage in Bangkok. Not what you would think. Not what you would think. I didn't get my happy ending. I was pissed. I kept kind of like... like she was rubbing like... Like, bro, she's rubbing me on my back and that, yeah? Mm. She's turned me over, yeah? I had to have my eyes closed and that, so I opened, I was like... She was like, huh? And they started talking in Thai because the other person was having a massage next door.
Yeah.
But you know, prostitution's massive over there, innit?
You're telling me? Yeah, bro, it's on every corner.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Is it really,
on every corner? I've heard, like,
after
it's massive.
We left Bangkok, went to Phuket, like, everything's is on sale. Like Bangalore Road is amazing. Like you look at it, there's street acts, street foods, big food markets, loads of restaurants, loads of super clubs like you'd find in America as well. Loads of bars, loads of super house clubs as well. It's got everything and it's huge. And on every strip, like promoters, you've got them going, oh, would you like to see this? It's a live show. She shoots ping pongs out of a thing. There's a lot of things I wanted to see and that's not one of them. I'm not going to lie, but prostitution is a big thing in Thailand. I never partook in any of that. Not even a joke. I just never, obviously you know why. But
I was so oblivious.
I get it.
I'm still listening.
They get it, don't worry. But now Phuket for me was incredible. And obviously I went to one bar, just had a couple of drinks, whatever, I was gonna call it early, and then met this guy. He's come in and he's rang the bell. You're not supposed to ring this bell because if you do, you have to buy everyone in the bar a drink.
Okay. Oh,
he's done
that.
He just walked up and was like, yo, don't do that. It's just, yeah, no, whatever. He's Australian, innit? So then he's done it. And then he's just bought everyone a drink. And I was like, rah, this, okay, I see you. Okay, club live all over again. And then he does it again.
How many people in this bar?
This was a small bar, probably about 20, 25 people, nothing major.
Is that tradition to ring the bell, is it? And
no.
I've never heard that before.
If you do it, you buy everyone a drink.
Okay.
And he did it twice. So obviously he don't give a fuck. And he had this woman with him who looked Thai. I don't know how much.
Are you saying she's a ladyboy?
No, I'm saying he bought her.
Oh, he bought her?
Yeah. So that's going to be his companion for the whole night.
Okay.
And then...
Okay, let's go.
Contract, and then he asked me...
Was she good looking?
Yeah, she was good looking still. I ain't even going to lie. she had these, but you could tell they were work done. She didn't have much none down below, but...
Basically, he says she's got no bunda.
No bunda. None whatsoever. But
no bunda.
The guy asked us to come to the club with him. I was like, nah, early night, you know, thanks for buying the drinks. You know, being hospitable and that. And you know how it is. You got to keep your wits about you. I'm only a month into my travels. For all I know, this is like a setup. You don't know what's going on. So we've come to the club, right? And then he's just like, yeah, we're going in straight away. Bought a bottle, massive bottle. Bottles,
oh, is this you and the same guy?
Yeah. And there was four of us at this time now. And then we've gone in And he's just bought us beer drinks, beer shots, everything. He's catered to my whole night. And it was just like, nah, I don't want nothing from you. It's cool. Don't worry about it. Bro, this was my experience traveling. And I'm not sure if I sent you guys videos from this yet.
Yeah, I remember you sent me videos.
Bro, it was wild. It was like an American club. You know how you got like, everyone is just a super club. Everyone's either got a table or dancing. You got all these girls coming out. It's a full on show. Mm. And I'm like, rah, Phuket, I love you already. Like, this is wild because you never really get this back home. You only get like your standard club and maybe a few shot girls who clearly don't want to be there because you can see the depression in their face while they hand over the bottles. It's mad. But this was my experience to Phuket, which then transcended over to the PP Islands. Bro, the kind of stuff you see in films. Water was beautiful, blue ocean. Mm. Like, you know, it's peak, yeah, because we took quite a lot of bags with us. Bro, there was no cars to get us to the little place we were staying. It was straight walking, and they had to send a guy from the hotel to come and carry our bags. I know he was upset because you carried one of my bags before. Bro, so the guy was upset.
What was the distance?
Same distance from yours to town.
Half an hour.
So half an hour walk.
Actually, no. It was that time because we were going on a slope, up hills, cobbles, the works. Just to get to this beautiful
two miles or something.
I was dead.
We don't live 2 miles.
Do you?
No, we live 1.2 miles away.
You might.
What do you mean? You live closer than me.
I drive to work all the time.
We don't live 2 miles.
We do.
Carry on, brother. Checking.
Because you started geography was.
Bro, I felt bad for the guy, you know. And do you know how, like, because they take you to the hotel, yeah, and then everyone gets tipped. I was like... Bro, I didn't want to tip no one on holiday. I don't even remember if I tipped him. If I did, it was just out of pure like, bro, I feel for you because I wouldn't want to carry all my bags up here.
Yeah.
But now,
from this gaff, it's 2.1 miles. So I'm closer than Jacob.
2.1 from here?
From here.
This is just a straight.
2.1 miles.
We'll bleep the name out.
Oh, shit. Bleep that.
And they're going to be coming to his work. Okay, Trey. Okay.
It's 12 minutes in.
But where we were staying was beautiful. Like, there's no cars, no, it's not polluted. It's the only thing you'll be able to kind of get transport around is boats, because we actually had to take a super boat to get there. It was beautiful. It was like the stuff you see in Bond films. Just amazing. And it's that picture where I'm sitting, like, in my red shorts, I'm just looking over, like, you just looking going, I'm here. Like, for me, Thailand is one of my favorite places and always will be, just because... The feeling you have when you're there is not like a holiday. It's like an escape. And yeah, that's why it was passionate for me. But then the next spot, I think, came back to Phuket and then went to, I think it was Singapore straight away. Singapore's dead, man. I don't care what anyone says, but Singapore's deadest place in the world.
Someone else was asking me about Singapore the other day. The only things that I've seen online and seen people talking about like on vlogs and stuff is like...
That's crazy.
The really high buildings that you have where you can go on the rooftop.
The Marina, San Marina Bay or whatever.
San Marina Bay. Is that with the swimming pool at the top?
Yeah, it looks like a hot dog's at the top of it.
Yeah, and like it's quite expensive as well.
It is. It's pricey. Most people only literally stay there. You can't even go into the swimming pool unless you're a resident of the hotel. That's a bit of a mistake. Just want to have a little splash, backstroke and shit like that.
Is that what it is?
It is beautiful. And when you're up there, bro... I don't like heights,
right,
wherever it is. I don't like heights.
Oh, shit, so the pool's on
The pool's literally right at the top.
Went to a restaurant, just at the top, right? And just, I think it was closing out, so we could only just get drinks. When you're looking over, right, you're high. If you don't like heights, don't go up there. I thought, let me take a quick picture on the edge, right? Looking over down and out. I looked over and I was like, it's nerve-wracking right now. Because in my head, I might fall, and that's the end of my holiday.
Holiday. That's the end of the holiday.
It's a super moment. I can make it.
Wow.
But Singapore was actually quite dead because apart from the gardens and the zoo, there's not much to do. It's like being back home. It's actually hella dead. So cut that holiday short, and then went to
some of the. What's that like? The sky, the gardens and stuff look really nice.
Yeah,
looks nice.
They've got some like I think that hotel that's massive high. I saw like the other rave.
That's the one we were just talking about.
Yeah. The one Martinez Brothers had a set there
on the top of the marina.
Yeah, because it's got an infinity pool, hasn't it? Mm. Yeah,
not for me. I don't want to look at my desk.
I don't know. I could go there to a party, innit? Like, I could go
you
there
can't,
and be like...
Like, we didn't really venture out to most of the clubs. Went to one bar, met some guys on our flight who were staying there as well. And they were kind of going to Indonesia as well after. And same as us. So it was like...
Did you know Indomie is not from Indonesia? And it's not from Nigeria either?
I never questioned it.
Mad.
Yeah, Indomie's not a Chinese, a Nigerian thing. It's just...
A lot of Nigerian
I know they think it's just like a brand of noodle.
Yeah.
But it's like common in Nigeria. That's why...
Where's it from?
I don't know where it's from, but I think it's just like a standard brand of noodle.
And we all thought it was Nigerian.
I swear it might be even Chinese or something.
Yeah.
I won't be surprised. Look at the product of this, like.
Yeah, probably is.
But
Indonesia.
Yeah, I had to cut Singapore short when it was dead. Quit booking early flight to Indonesia. And then it's not as hyped up as everyone guesses it up to be.
Is it Singapore?
No, Indonesia.
I can ask you a question. So, you know, when you was in these countries like Thailand, Singapore and stuff, I don't know, I follow set people on YouTube. So I watch like, shout out to Munchies. They have the best like food channel and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you ever look at these channels and be like, oh, now I've seen this. I want to go to these places and experience what they did and like that?
Originally, that was what it was. It was like, see the stuff that they've done and then recreate or see the same things. So like when you look at the temples in Thailand and stuff like that, I remember coming back and watching LV General, Chunks, and what's his name?
They've been to Thailand?
They went to the same kickboxing place that I went to.
Wait, Chunks has been to Thailand?
No, Chunks, who was LV doing a show with? Because they went on a trip with Foot Locker. Foot Asylum.
Mad.
LV Young General.
They did a thing. I'm sure it was Young Philly and Chunks as well. They went on a holiday thing because I came back and I was watching it with on Luke's thing and I was like, rah.
Was it on BBC iPlayer or whatever?
It might have been, no, not BBC like a BBC. I think it was like a YouTube show or whatever.
But see, I'll never look at them, man, for holiday things. When
they
I look
did a
at holiday,
holiday one
stuff.
And I saw them, they were training at the same Thai boxing place that I did, which was around the corner from where I was staying in Phuket.
Mad.
Like, I did a few sessions there. It was incredible. Guy was sick. Like, and it was weird because me being the black foreigner kind of thing, they had foreigners coming in and out and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know me, I'm big on my fitness.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be beat. Like, I did all the training, did everything, and then we were doing the fitness drills, flipping tires, press ups, going from end to end, whatever. And everyone else was lacking. They were tired. And then you see me just still going, still like a Rocky film. But I remember catching a video of the recording, and then you could just see everyone just watching, like, still going. Yo, like, I'm competitive, me, man. I ain't here to show man up, man. Come on, from ends.
There's a lot of fighters that go to Thailand and stay there for a while.
Yeah, best camps.
There's one guy, Khalil. His name's Khalil Rountree, and he moved his whole camp to Thailand. So he's a UFC fighter. He's not a big prospect, but I like his story. And then he used to train with you ever heard of Shutterbox? It's like just before like Wanderlei Silva. I know that man and Anderson Silva started.
Yeah.
Anderson. So then this Khalil Rountree did kickboxing and he started being like mentored under Anderson.
Mad.
It's mad, isn't it? But he was mad because he only did kickboxing to lose weight. So he was a real fat kid.
And he just got good at the sport.
And then became Anderson Silva's like sparring partner. Like,
and that's what you need when you got those big guys up there.
Yeah. It's just so happened because he trained in that gym. And then he went to Thailand. And then he just moved his whole camp to Thailand just to focus on Muay Thai. And then,
difficult.
It just Alba did that.
Wow.
Did you see the thing Idris Elba did?
Yeah, he was doing the thing where it was like he was set up for the fight. Yeah,
he cut loads of weight. Yeah.
A real fight?
Yeah.
He's so well rounded.
He does everything.
Yeah, he's so well.
So basically, there's like a program, like a 6-part program on it. So he went to, I think it was Thailand, and then he trained. He was like getting taught by the people there. He was like half his height and stuff.
Painful as
the
well.
The way he was like kickboxing, he was showing like how bruised his shins were because he's never done it. And because he had to cut weight to fit into a certain category and stuff, like he was really dehydrated. But I can't remember whether he got battered in one, not battered, but in his first proper fight, like he was against some serious people who've been doing it for a while. And he was like, this is a lot harder than what I thought it would be.
Wow.
But he held his own. But
you ever seen him Ong Bak?
Yeah.
Fam, it is serious.
Some
like,
of the best fighters in Singapore.
Yeah. Tony Jaa. The way man used to... Ong Bak one is different. Like, I've never seen... Thai people underrated for how they fight. Because in that Ong Bak thing, man was...
It's just because like...
just don't elbows.
I think everyone wants to choreograph the best fight scenes, yeah. And that's why like... Bro, Thai people are unreal, man. Like, I don't know. I don't even know how.
It's not. But Thai only really got love. I would only say where Thailand.
The fighting.
Became no, not even just the fighting, because the fighting's still mainstream. Not mainstream. It's not mainstream. But like, think of it now. A lot of Chinese influence, and why a lot of people love Chinese, because in the early 60s it was kung fu.
Yeah.
And then from kung fu, it's now anime. Mm. It's now manga and the food. So then people are now like, I'm more Chinese influenced than anything else. Thailand's still on the cover. But then it's not, people are not looking at as Thailand for the culture. It's more for what they saw in Hangover. Or
yeah, when people go...
The party life.
Yeah. Yeah. So when people travel,
the full moon party,
they don't actually come back to tell you, this is what I learned. I did this mad party.
Bro, yeah, it's true. Yeah, you're right. It is true. Like, everyone always wants to talk about the party side of it. And don't get it twisted, when I go back, I will probably focus half more on the party, because I never got a chance to just focus on just that. It was just all at your face. So you're just like, there's so much to the place. But what you learn from the place, there was one restaurant I went to when it was in the PP Islands, where the menu on the other side of it was certain phrases and how to speak like them. So like, sawadi ka, sawadi kon, is like, how are you, if depending if you're male or female. And I was just like, rah, this is sick. Because you ain't going to get this at your local pub or in Leicester, do you know what I mean?
Nah, true. So yeah, where were you up to? You're talking about Indonesia. Yeah.
Now, Indonesia is one that's publicized a little bit more. Everyone talks about, oh, I'm going to Bali. It's beautiful. We're going to
Is Bali in Indonesia?
Yeah.
Mad. See?
You know when you're gone and your good friends went there as well?
No. But it's mad though, because...
Did you think it's its own kind of thing?
See? That's how Bali's pushed.
Yeah, because no one ever focuses where Bali is. They just go, I'm going to Bali.
Yeah, but that's how it's pushed.
Because if you say to someone, I'm going to Indonesia,
they look at you like, what are you talking about?
You think Indonesia's the travel thing, and you think Bali is the holiday.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
They'll be like, why are you going to Indonesia? And you're like, I'm going to Bali. They're like, oh.
It's like, exactly. I said to someone recently, like, I'm going to go Santorini soon. They were like, yeah, where's that? I was like, it's fun. It's in Greece, isn't it?
But if you told someone you're going to Greece, it sounds low budget.
So do you think that, like, because of, like, this kind of old influence culture that we have, that's kind of, like, it shapes certain places to be 100%. More glamorous or less glamorous?
100%, because, like I said, with Santorini, how many people before Dubai was a big thing for lockdown? Even Harry Maguire, all these, everyone was there.
The football player?
Yeah. I got arrested out there.
I know. The first time I heard Santorini, though, but proper being talked about, was like Rick Ross and raps. He, like I've said before on the pod, like Rick Ross. Raps and he makes you feel inspired but broke at the same time.
I think it's Aston Martin, that song as well, bro.
Aston Martin music, like he will speak about like being on like a balcony in somewhere in Greece, smoking a cigar that you've never ever heard of, drinking the finest of champagne, and you're like, you got all these images in your head thinking, I want to do that, and you realize you're not Rick Ross.
Yeah.
It's weak. I use that as inspiration music, but...
I feel that. But no, you're right. The culture is completely changed based on the name you can tell people.
Yeah.
Me, I didn't even care what I was telling people. It was like,
so did you have that in your head before you went?
Bro, come on, it's me. I don't like to be a culture vulture with that. I just...
Nah, but I mean, like...
I think that's because you're older.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie. What Tez is saying, a lot of things influence my lifestyle. So, like, if we go back to, like, 2013, 11, 12. Look at the films that were big at that time. It was like, you know, it was like them whitewash films that had like that whole era of party. So Project X. Project X, Hangover, Superbad. That film, like Project X, when they go to college. It's all these college kind of films, and
American Pie.
All they want to do is party.
Yeah.
And then I was always like, oh my God. Like, like some of that influenced what I was going to do or where I'm going on holiday. Before we even booked Napa, we was looking at holidays on YouTube. This is the early times of YouTube.
I remember Napa.
And
still.
Then because I seen like a clip and what they were doing, it was called Mayhem Bar Crawl. And what they were doing was nuts. I was thinking, shit, I'm going there. I was like, all that influenced my head. It wasn't for the culture. It was like, this is this. And then when you go uni, you think, oh shit, my uni's going to be like American Pie. I'm going to do the maddest stuff in the dorms.
How depressing is it?
Even they don't glamorize it as much now.
Mm-hmm.
On TV, but that whole era of going to college and it's a Maselina was a concept.
I don't know about America. You, but when I used to see them, I always used to think everyone looked a bit old. obviously, thinking about it,
for real,
the actors were older than what they were playing.
They gotta play the younger characters.
Yes, but so I was like, these people are grown, but they're meant to be 18. I was like, nah, this don't look right.
Yeah, I love them filmsmen because that's what I originally thought university was like. But before I even knew you guys, long before this, my friend Kevin went to a university in Liverpool. I came up here with a few friends as well, and bro, this is when I low-key fell in love with Liverpool, but I was like, yo, where's all the...
He's lying. He's lying. Don't let him... Don't let him lie on the pod. Please don't lie on the pod.
We'll talk about that.
I can't let you stop lying.
Obviously, I had beef with Liverpool at one point.
Can't let you start lying on the pod.
Why is Josh... Relax.
You called on the podcast to lie, bro.
Relax. All right. So... Let me get back to my life, right? Okay. So when came out to Liverpool, and it was a mad experience because when you like what you got to Ink now was Igloo back then.
Yeah,
what?
It was Igloo back then.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
It was weird because when I went to Ink with you guys, I was like, this place looks hella familiar, you know?
But the Igloo that we knew was hella bougie. It was only letting in 21-year-olds.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. They changed it. Right, so like, if you go on a Thursday, you'd be all right kind of thing. You go on a weekend and they didn't like the look of you. They'd be like, nah, not tonight. You have to be 21.
21 and over.
Because I remember...
I think I was 21 as well.
Yeah, you must have been. Because they were like... I think I would have been Igloo 3 times in my life.
Yeah, I went twice.
Yeah.
And one time, I remember, I don't want to say the name just in case you want, but it was mad. There were 6 of us. We went, man, gal. And it was like, the first two got in. Then it was like, Munir and who he's with... kind of got pushed to the side, and because they knew where we were, them, they're like, nah, you can't go in either.
Mad.
And we were like, well, we've all got ideas, and nah, 21. Just we were like,
yeah, I think I went in one time. I was like, shit, is this what I was cracked up to be? Yeah,
it wasn't.
It was blue inside. It was meant to be like ice, innit?
Yeah, I liked it because it was. I think that was the first time we ever did like bar hopping because the party lifestyle in Birmingham's a little bit different than in up north where you can go from venue to venue as frequently. Yeah. I know one or two men are trying to argue the case, but nah, you go to a warm-up spot and then you go to your main spot. Mm. In Liverpool, you could just go here, there and everywhere.
In Liverpool, we've said this.
We've got it nice.
You can hit up 25 plus spots in one
exactly,
night.
That's what I mean. So,
especially if you start in the day.
Yeah.
Fam.
That's like shit.
I've always said this. We should do it and document it. I've always said this.
We should plan to start at.
Yeah, you should do it, man. Like, actually,
start at one and just blitz as many places.
You could do 11 bottomless brunches if you wanted to.
That's why I rate Liverpool. There's not many places that do entry free. Well, at that time, there wasn't that many places that do entry fee.
Yeah.
So you could go like as many places as you want.
That'd be sick.
Like, I would be saying this for a time.
I'd watch that. I want to see if he's still standing at the end of it, you know?
Nah, like...
24 hours. So 20,
you could hit up 25 spots and every spot you have to get a drink.
Yo, Boris!
Nah, you could actually. You could do from like one.
Trust me.
Even if it was only 1 till 11, you could literally, if it's just an hour in each spot.
Yeah. I could actually do that all half.
I'll be dead. I'll record you. So I'll come and film for you. But I'll be dead.
I think we all should do it.
Nah, it'll be funny. It'll be 24 hours.
It'll be jokes.
It'll be like Munir's birthday all over again, man. Body's dropping like flies.
I don't know. If you have one drink per venue, I think you'd be fine.
One drink per venue, but if you do it as a brunch thing, though, I'll be different.
Nah, we do one drink per venue.
One drink per venue.
I need to have more than one drink.
What would you do, though?
Any drink you want.
Ross, okay, shots.
One shot?
I don't know, though.
25 shots, that's a
bottle. Fam, that's a lot, you know.
Yeah, but you need to think, from 12.
Yeah, but still, though, you can, if you're doing a shot.
But if you're doing doubles each place, you'll still be fine.
Oh, you want to do a double?
You'll still be waved. You'll be waved.
Yo, by a double each place.
By 8 p.m., you'll be feeling it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think you would have pissed it out by now.
Lack of food, dehydration.
Because I think you can piss it out, to be honest.
I don't know.
You got to remember, you've been cutting shapes as well.
I don't know, because we need to think, if we're doing early vibes, yeah, it'll be calm, and then you won't be cutting that many shapes. I don't know, man.
Funny thing is, though, I don't know about you, but the earlier I drink, the more, fucked I get.
I was saying to someone, though, with all this, social distancing, the way this substantial meal thing... Someone was asking me to come, do you want to go to Liverpool? Since in all honesty, if you're looking to come to Liverpool for a day, you might as well book brunch in 2 different venues.
Yeah.
serious.
Or more than 2 if you can.
Because it kind of... Fam, we're paying more for now going to these places...
Than you were when...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I might as well spend the 25 in one place and spend the 25 in another place.
Yeah.
Instead of spending 15 on one food and then I have to buy beer drinks.
It's true.
And get kicked off your table as well.
Yeah.
So I might as well start booking two places of bottomless brunch now. Because deep down I was like, the time we went out, I think I spent more money if I would have just booked two bottomless brunches.
Isn't that what you did last time?
Nah.
You said you had two places.
I'm on to it.
We booked one, but then we went to different places. But if we booked two, like we had one at this time, we had one at like one and had another one at six, it would have been better than going at the one at one and just leaving to go to different places.
Yeah. True. But anyway, back to what you were talking about. We kind of talk about Liverpool, but you were talking about Indonesia.
Indonesia. So where I was, I stayed in Bali, basically. Yeah. And It's overgassed.
Does it look how, you know, because like bare people take certain pictures. I see the same people who go there taking the same kind of pictures. Yeah. So that one, I'm like, I don't know where people staying, how they get this photo.
It's
at the top and it's like they're having breakfast on the ledge of a...
That will depend on where you're staying in Bali and what villa you're staying in.
And then there's ones where like the there's hammocks with the swing. Yeah.
Or that they're looking for a bird bush. Or,
yeah.
Yeah. That one was in, I think I remember the waterfall, Tengungun waterfall or some shit like that. So I stayed majority in Seminyak, but the other place, the hipster kind of place, I forgot what it's called, but I took a ped and just rolled up there. Now, Bali looks exactly how you see in all the pictures. There ain't no catfishing. It looks the exact same.
Yeah.
But here's the downside they don't tell you. You're not of Indonesian colour, so you will get stopped by the police if you have a vehicle at every single opportunity. Now, purchased my international driving licence, so there ain't a vehicle I couldn't drive without it. But I got stopped when I was in one place riding a ped, and a guy tried to say, oh, you're riding the wrong way. I'm a funny guy. So when I looked to my left and I looked at everyone riding the same way I was going as well, and I looked at him, what about them? Guy didn't say nothing.
Is this one was in your story?
Yeah. The guy was like, they were all talking in Indonesian, like laughing. Like, they've got me today. They're going to make some money out of me. And then they were like, you got your license? Gave him my license. Oh, okay, well, you know, we're going to have to fine you because you've not got an Indonesian. Well, here's my international license. Oh. we're going to have to fine you because you've not got a helmet. Well, my helmet's in my hand. I'm not obviously going to have my helmet on when I'm not using a ped.
Yeah.
So it was just trying to find excuses. They let me go. And then one time they caught me, the next police caught me again because my ped was like, the wheel was over the line, like the traffic light. So then they started flagging me down at this like police station. Oh, come over. And I'm like, here we go. Pull in, blah, blah, blah. I'm not looking to have a high speed chase here on a flipping 70cc motorbed against police cars. And then, the way that they even took like the registration for the pen, they took it and said, oh, if you want to come collect this, it's going to cost you this unless you've got this on you now. I said, nah, I've got no money on me now. And they let me go, took the ped. So when I returned the ped, the guy was like, oh, where's the registration thing? I'm like, police have it. Here's the little slip. Go get your ped back. Go get your thing back. And he was basically saying that they do this all the time to tourists. They always try and fleece them out of money. That's why tourists don't come back. And I'm like, I'm not bothered. I've not lost any money. So if I was you, I'd go pay, I think it was like £25 he would have had to pay or some shit like that. Yeah, the equivalent, but I wouldn't have paid it. But nightlife though, bro, wild. So I think, I'm not sure if Connor went to it as well, but La Favela in Seminyak, incredible. It's like being in a Brazilian jungle. The club was huge. I ever ran into my friend Shane because he was...
Is the club outside then or?
Bro, it's in and out.
Okay. It's,
like you go inside and then like inside is the main bit and then it's outside.
Yeah.
Bro, it's like something out of Pirates of the Caribbean, bro. It was sick. It was it was just incredible. And at the very top was a house music. So you would have seen a few snaps. But I was back in and out of that club like because I was in Bali for a while. Bro, that place was incredible. And I tell anyone, if you're ever going and you're staying in Seminyak, definitely go and check it out because... You won't. The only bad thing I can say about that club is you can smoke inside. That's the only bad thing.
Inhaling secondhand smoke.
Understand that when you go to these kind of places, because you're a tourist and you don't speak the language or they assume you're a fool to their culture, they will try and fleece you for everything. Now, because I look a certain type of way, they're not trying to like pick me as a target.
Yeah.
But just imagine more vulnerable looking people. they're easy pickings.
Yeah.
Even at the airport, some guy comes to the taxi, pulls all the bags out, takes me to my flipping gate, and I'm like, he's going to try and ask for some money in the end of this.
Yeah, definitely.
Dressed as a monk and everything. Takes me to the airport.
The monk tried to fleece you?
No, he's dressed as a monk.
Okay.
And that's the thing, though. We're all carrying, like, loads of bags. And he just takes it from us. Like, yeah, I'm like, yo, keep eyes in the bags. You know, if he tries to go, I'm faster, you know, Usain Bolt. I'm catching him. And then we... Bro, I'm a black man in Bali. Ain't no one faster than me. I'm
okay. Just chasing a monk.
I tackled him as well. But, yeah, man, like... And at the end of it, he took us to our gate and he was just like, oh, yeah. You know, we're like, put the head down, like, yeah, just give me some. I'm like, you know what's mad? I've actually, at this one, I wasn't even lying. I had no cash. And he's like, we take card. Fuck off, man.
You should we take card?
Fuck off. He had a card machine thing, man.
That's jokes.
As soon as he flipped, I knew he was fleecing, man. And then he starts walking away and speaking in bar in like Indonesian, insulting, man, and that. And I was like, it's up to you. You chose this. Like, but yeah. I've noticed that. Bali, I'm sorry, Indonesia for me was much more, it was just like they're trying to fleece. Oh, actually, tell a lie, when we landed, bro, how come a guy, yeah, started taking my suitcase? Random person, I'm
did
looking.
Did you do that in Nigeria, lo?
Bro, check this.
As in, like, that's mine.
So, we've got the guy we're expecting to come and drive us or whatever, and he takes two of the bags, we've got another two, yeah? And then this guy, yeah, he just walks next to me, and he just like, I've got my hand on my case, and he starts like, trying to like slide it along like he's with this guy. I'm like looking at him. I'm looking at the guy. I say, is this with you? The guy's looking at me like I'm speaking foreign to him. Is this guy with you? And he goes, no, why? And the guy starts walking off. I'm like, I've still got my suitcase in my hand. I'm like, bro, the audacity to do it right in front of my face. Like the cheek of that.
Is this your bag he's taking?
Like, I'm literally holding onto my bag while I'm watching this. Like, I was
just moving like
this. You know what it was? You don't want to be too rude, like, oh, he's just trying to help you.
Yeah.
Mind you, I've just landed in Bali. Thailand was great. No one tried
That's
to
That's actually
me.
So funny.
Bro.
I can just imagine you just slowly just moving.
I'm moving like with him, yeah. You know how you got to always keep your wits about
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
In Thailand, you don't get this much, like, if not ever.
What
like,
if you slap, man? Like,
bro, this is what I'm saying. You don't know if you can, like, you switch.
Yeah. I don't know if I...
I'm tempted. It's like, get let loose. But I'm like...
I had to, but that's mad.
It was scary.
Wow. Like, I had to slap my
dick. I didn't know if I should react to this situation
it's one of them
in a way I wanted to.
Yeah, because you don't know. He could just and then police.
I think it'd be more shocked. Like, well,
yeah,
like,
I'll be like, yo,
bro. The guy walked away into the distance calmly as well. He just tried to rob me, failed, and looked at me while he walked away. He wasn't even walking, he was gliding as well. You know, I was like, did that just happen, bro? That was my introduction into Bali. And I was just like, this is mad.
Oh, man.
But I don't think anything like that has ever happened since then.
Yeah.
But
so would you recommend people go into Bali then?
I'd pick Thailand over Bali. Yeah. One, because if you want a party lifestyle, Phuket has it all. Bangkok has it, but Phuket was a lot better because you still had that influx of the beach, the sun, and then you can just literally say, you know what, fuck it, let's go to one of the PP Islands or one of the other islands. And then it's beauty at its finest, and you could have a party on the beach with everyone else. Like, bro, the music and the bars and everything shut to like 11 p.m. because of some death that apparently happened. But the people still on the they're still on the beach drinking.
Yeah,
I shit you not, I saw this group of people, yeah, walk into the ocean. Yeah, it's like, oh, their friend was there. The tide is really, really low at night. So these guys walked far. I saw, like, you know, like a shipwrecked boat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Ross, that's weird. There's a shipwrecked boat that far out, because in the day, you know, it looked like there was no boat there. He disappeared in front of my eyes. People were appearing out of the darkness in the ocean. That's how low the tide was. Like, bro, it was mad. Because you're thinking, someone's put something in my drink.
Yeah.
Like, the drinks are mad heavy as well. Like,
what, the water was taking them?
No, there was, the water was so low in it. Yeah, so people just kept going far out.
And then they just disappear when you look.
Bro, it's like... The beach is all lit up and that, yeah. But then when you're looking at the distance, you're like, "Rah, that guy's not coming back, is he? You're looking, is he coming? No? Okay. Okay."
One of them, you're not even gonna risk.
Yo, you're scared. Like, imagine, you don't know. That's uncharted territory. Nah, I'm not a great swimmer. For all I know, there's a wave coming in. I don't know, but it was wild.
It's always tourists when they go to these different countries, they're not scared of the water. Mm. Maybe it's because, well, we have a lack of water in it that maybe we're not educated as much, but
one of them,
But it was, I think you can get everything you want in Bali, in Thailand. If you want that nature side of things, you can still find it in Thailand. Like,
and Thailand is cheaper as well.
Way cheaper as well. And you won't have that hassle of, by the way, everything in Indonesia gets taxed on, like, so you get your, whatever you purchase, then they put the VAT on top. And that stings even more.
What do you mean?
Okay, cool. So I'm there in a restaurant,
Isn't that what they do here?
Do you always see it, though? Like, you get the total price, though. And then you'll see a receipt,
VAT at the bottom.
This one stings bad because you're, like, it's mad. It's supposed to be cheap. It's supposed to be cheap, but it doesn't feel like it's cheap because you're just like, rah, this is kind of like UK. So imagine one restaurant said, because you sat down at a restaurant table, you know, we've had to add a VAT tax. Oh, sorry, not tax, sorry. The service charge. That's the one. It was a service charge. Everything comes with a service charge.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. No, I played it, whatever. Went to a few more places, Potato Beach Club, Finn's Club, all of it. Paid it. You know, we're getting tables. We're expecting it because you're bringing bottles to us. It's a service that we're getting.
Yeah.
One bar, I've already had food here, yeah?
Yeah.
So I know the sketch. I'm like, you ain't going to hit me with that service charge again. I go and sit down at the bar.
Because you're a regular?
No.
Okay.
Everything gets a service charge. I went to the bar and ordered a drink service charge.
I get it. I do get
it. And then
But it's just like New York too. New York, I was more angry because it generally felt like we was paying for each another person.
Did we keep getting service charge?
Bro, everywhere.
Yeah, but I think they in America, they used to get tips.
No, see, I can give you a tip. But where it looks like I've paid for myself and myself again. That's where it was getting to me. Like, I was like, where's this extra person? Bro, we did it everywhere. And there was one place when we went to that place in Chinatown, I was angry. Like, I was like, enough is enough. Like,
bro, but we went to Chinatown.
When we went to the Korean barbecue place.
Like, New York's dead blood. I'm trying to erase that holiday from my head.
When we went to that Korean barbecue place and the service charge amount, what they gave back, man, I was like, literally, you just paid.
Yeah.
We were actually paying for two people, but two people didn't eat. I didn't get it. I actually didn't get it.
Told me this.
Like, I was. It was happening too much in New York where I was actually genuinely feeling like, this is a tip. I'll give the person that. Imagine a person.
That's a tip, innit?
Imagine a person that's working with us, who's worked on our table, is getting a tenner each. A tenner for the service. So bear in mind, you're working, say, let's just break it down. You're working an 8-hour shift.
Mm.
And you average waiter has 3 tables per every half hour to an hour. You've just made £30 on top of your wage. Do you get what I'm saying?
Per table.
Mm-hmm. No, that is decent.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. I'm happy to give you 10. Everywhere I go, I normally give someone a fiver. Plus, if we're all there, everyone puts change, that's a tenner.
Yeah.
But if you're telling me now, I've just paid £40-50 for myself to eat, and I'm going to pay another £40-50 for imagine paying.
The worst thing is they ain't even major foods. It's like, it's like, I'm just hungry, let's just get a bite.
And what? I'm just thinking, what kind of service did you do where literally we've actually paid for two people?
Can you ask them to take it off?
Nah, so we wasn't going to pay. It's funny that you said that, because we wasn't going to pay, because I was like, this is actually an outrage. Like, we've been bumped in so many places. Hutong was the worst. Where the service charge was like, oh my god.
Which one was he talking again?
The one on top of the building. On top.
Yeah. That was disgusting.
That was disgusting.
That was ridiculous.
That was crazy. That's where I was like,
and the minimum spend as well.
Yeah. Ridiculous. I was like, I'm rich, and I know I need to stay in my lane.
They're trying to tell us like $70 minimum spend.
To eat
and drink.
But then,
are you going to give us a minimum spend in a restaurant?
But to say this,
fam, it was
just boiled rice on its own accumulates to half of it.
Fam.
I'm not even saying $5 for rice.
Nah, it was
£20 for rice.
It was like extra rice that came up to like
£20 for rice, just boiled rice.
Did they sprinkle gold on it or something? Oh, man.
Boiled basmati rice.
Do you know what's even
I bet it's one of them sticky ones as well.
No. Just basmati normal, rice.
Like in them round balls.
Yeah, and it was like a spoonful of rice. You're saying £20.
Do you know what was peak about that place that we went in Hong Kong? We paid because of the name of the restaurant
and
because of the view. The food wasn't better than the local places that we went.
So is that why then? I reckon they do this all the time.
It was like in the town centre kind of thing.
You could oversee the harbour.
You could oversee the harbour.
Yeah, it's like a touristy place.
I wouldn't even say it was a touristy
place. Nah, it's a place where you're like, I'm going with my missus, I'm going to book it in.
Even a rich man will tell you like £20 for rice is a bit mad.
He was on the 14th floor.
Yeah.
So you could oversee. I've got videos, I'll show you the video. Yeah.
Them service charges, New York for me, it was actually the first couple of days I was like, all right, cool. Then when it started elongating, I'm like, okay, you're now if you add up like all the money that we pay for service charge, that could be a flight for somewhere else.
how long was she there for?
8 days, 9 days.
Oh, really?
Too long, man.
Like 10 days earlier?
Yeah, assuming. 10 days. But you need to think like, but service charge is no joke. It really adds up
if you're paying.
You and they expect a tip as well.
Yeah.
It really what's mad about it. Like if you go to something like Tattoo or something like that, and you pay a service charge. You pay a service charge, and if you feel like it's been stupendous, I might give you another tip.
You're not obliged.
But when in every meal you eat, now that's what you need to like really consider it. Every meal you eat out is a service charge.
Yeah.
That's scary, but man.
It's not a small amount of service charge I can handle. Where you see £6 service charge, that shit don't really affect me. That's what you see in England. I've never seen a service charge which is too crazy where I'm like, hang on.
I have only when there's a big amount
of people. Yeah, but then when you split it still works out like £5-6 each.
Yeah.
So I've never had service charge more than that. But then when you start seeing service charge where it's £20, you're like, shit.
Is it 20 like each?
Man, this one, we actually pay that Korean place, yeah. I don't even remember the name. But it literally was, we was paying for two people to eat. That's where I was so outraged. Like, I was like, rah.
I've been trying to forget New York.
But there was only three of us. Three of us that is paying for a whole family of five.
We're paying for someone's child to go to university, basically.
Bro, it was piss take. It was actually a piss take. Even that, like, even set places where drinks as well.
The drinks
were, like, I didn't even drink beer, but it was the cheapest thing on the menu, man. For rah.
£18
for beer, eh? I was thinking, shit. Carlsberg, you know.
New York, serious, man.
It's like, actually serious.
You can't explore. There's no culture with it. It's just you're spending money. Like
I think we had a different. So a lot of people I spoke to when they see New York, I think because we went to a lot of places and we seen like a whole complete. Me personally, I've never seen poverty like that before.
Bro,
like,
said the same thing as well.
Never seen disgusting poverty. I've never seen. I don't give it. It makes me feel like people are naive. People that go to New York only go to New York and they stay in Manhattan.
Yeah, and never leave.
And never leave.
We were in Brooklyn.
I think some people do.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think exploring.
A lot of people.
And even if you did though, how many home? Bro, fam. One guy. How much did he ask you for?
Yeah.
Bro, oh, yeah. That was wild.
It was so weird. I don't know. It was a lot. It was a lot of money.
No. So basically, we're used to this, yeah. Hand me a dollar, because that was Josh's thing. People were always asking him, like, yo, you got a spare change, you got a dollar, whatever. And he'll give him money or whatever, yeah? This one guy, I think he said like $1,000 or something.
He said, let me hold $1,000.
Mine must have seen your McQueen's, unfortunately.
Josh, look, so that's another thing. Have I told you that story?
Might have.
Okay, so that's another thing.
I said, let me hold the fast.
No, the way he said it was so casual.
Because,
he was like, let me hold $1,000. I looked at man like, rah. But he said it with not even hesitation.
Yeah.
Do you know what's funny? A lot of homeless people ask me for money every day. So when I'm walking, homeless people always go, like, I'm always on the phone to Sonny. Yeah. You always hear someone say, yo, you got money. A homeless man came to my house the other day to knock for me to ask for money.
He came and knocked at your house?
Yeah, it's my. He was like, yo, Josh. I'll actually go with the story. So there's a guy on my street. He's not a guy, he's a man. He's older than my mum. But when I see him, man, I always pass him like a couple of like a pounds and stuff. Because you know me.
Yeah.
I always have to give something. Like, you never know what ever happened.
Mm.
So today, my man actually had the confidence to come to my gaff.
I love this.
He had the confidence to come to my gaff. At first, I think, am I actually hearing someone shout my name? Because man thought, oh, am I putting on my shoes to play football?
So I'm knocking for him.
What? Yo, it's mad because he always sees me around my area. So set man know where I live in it because where I'm going home, he always asks me for pee. So I'm like, all right, I got money today, I'll give you something. I am Josh. Josh, I'm like, yo, like, someone's actually really calling for me, innit? So I was on FaceTime. I was like, yo, ah, cool. Let me call you back in a minute. No, I was like, you just stay on the phone. Let me just see who's this. Man popped his head out of the window. Like, yo.
Doing it on top?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yo. He's like, yo, Josh. I said, what go for? I'm like, what's happening? He's like, bro, fam, I just need a tenner. I said, £10, yeah. You already owe me 50. Then he was like, no, I need to. But it's funny because every time I used to give him change. Then the money started increasing. And when it started increasing, he was like, yo, I'll pay it when I get, like, my universal credit or I get my, like, my gyro. I was like, I can't. He's like, I'm still waiting for my money. I'm waiting for my pip. I'll give you the money. I was like, I can't. This time now, mom was like, yo, I'll sell you this coat. I said, I've got bear coats. He's like, but this coat is £80, but I'll sell it for 20. I was like, nah. He's like, oh, please, I'm begging you. I was like, no, I've got no P because you already owe me P. He's like, I'll pay you the money on Friday. No, it was Friday. I'll pay you the money on Sunday. But I was like, what about the money you owe me? You still need to pay me on Sunday. He's like, oh, he was begging. I was like, you need to leave. Like, you didn't want to leave. I was like, come. He's like, the shop next to mine, they do cashback. I was like, they don't do cashback. He's like, they do cashback. I was like, I know my man, innit? So in my head, I was like, yeah, I know my man, innit? He won't do cashback. So I was like, come. He's like, if we go to the shop, I'm not going lodgy. We just go to the shop. If he's got no cashback, then allow it. Goes to the shop. I'm like, my man, do you have cash back? He's like, no, bro, we don't do cash back. So there you go. Mom was like, come lodgy then. Then he's like, come lodgy. I was like, oh, mate. Like, he was stressing me. He's like, just take my coat in it. The funniest thing is, it was that period where the snow started to happen.
Yeah.
Freezing. Wow. It was absolutely freezing.
You can't take man's coat.
So mom was like, take my coat, I'll buy it back off you. That's how I knew it was serious.
Salesman.
No. He's like, you can buy my coat now. I just used the money that I owe you to buy the coat back. But I'm like,
no matter what, you're losing out there.
I was like, you're suffering. To come and say, you need the money for me to buy the coat to buy back the money. Like, I'll just take out the money. You could see you shivering in it. But I was like, fam, like then he just started me speaking to me about, like, you're older than my mum. Like, for you to come and knock at my door.
That's boring.
Like, and you're older than my own mum. We're not even the same age. For change, I thought, nah.
I think the fact that you've done it repeatedly over time, that's where it...
Homeless people love me from.
Listen, that ain't even homeless no more. That's like you said, he owes you money now.
He owes you money.
You know when you give a man money on the street, yeah? He don't owe you money. But when you have to keep giving someone money, it's like, yo, I'm writing up a tab, you know?
For him to say, I'll buy my coat off, and I use the money that I owe you to buy back the coat, I was like, nah, this is serious me, man. Is actually just mad, but yeah.
You're a better man than me, man.
Yeah.
Listen, that door that
looks closed, man. Wow.
But
why did you entertain it for so long?
I'm too nice.
Josh, I was gonna say Josh is too nice, man.
There's a million homeless, a billion homeless.
If I was a billionaire, I would give every homeless person.
You can't give coats to every homeless person that you see.
No, but he will try and give to as many as he can.
If I see like as many homeless people as you know, I'll make sure I give everyone or try and give everyone as much money as I had.
And then he puts us in danger.
There's no danger.
Well, what about the other day?
There's no danger.
What about the other day?
What happened to the
guy knocking at your door? Sounds like danger to me.
Josh, I'm not scared.
No, not that danger. Tell about the other day danger. COVID wasn't happening then times, was it?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago.
That's even dangerous then, man.
Like, I don't know. Me personally, I'm not scared, innit? Like, if I died today, I'd die today.
It ain't about the fear, yeah? So check this, yeah. What else happened the other day, Josh? Tell the story.
It's a bit mad, isn't it? So, okay, so I hear... that is the introduction.
Okay.
I hear from. I'm feeling, oh shit. So I got up. I don't know how no one didn't hear it except
me. I heard it.
You didn't hear fuck all. It was all of me here. From.
You know what it was? You just ignore what you hear.
Yeah. So I was thinking shit. So I was thinking, is this? So I have to pop my head out of my window again. I opened the window and pop my head out. Yeah. But it's pitch black now. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm shook. I'm absolutely shocked,
bro.
Cause I see this head. I'm absolutely shocked. Cause I see this head. I and it's got no teeth.
He's not even joking as well.
No, I'm not even joking, but on the floor.
Bruh.
So I thought, but it's like, we can't speak. And I thought it was a demon. I was like, no, wait. I didn't say that, but I was shitting it. Like, imagine all you can see.
It was because it's just his head was just his head.
Yeah.
And it's, I was like, oh, no. Like, what is this? So I'm like, hello. He's like, I was like, listen, nah, man. Like,
no English. The guy was just wailing.
Really bricking it. I'm like, mom. She fine. I was like, cool. Let me see what I can do. Run outside now. And I was like, I run outside now. And my mom was like, I see her, this head. Oh, I sick his shit, fam. I actually thought it was like that time with Welby.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, I said, whoa, like, what is happening? It turns out it was like this crackhead.
Oh, no, he was lying on the floor.
Bro. He must have opened the gate and fell. But because I only...
Exactly. That didn't even set you off on a punchline. That's it. It was just a crackhead through the gate.
Yeah, like, but all you could see is only his face. And
what, was his head in the gate?
Bro, he fell through the gate. But how do you fall through a gate where the thing's inside the hole? So he either tried to open it and then I fell.
So wait, open the gate and it's got stuck
so
in between?
You know my gate when you open it?
Yeah.
So you know you have to press that thing to open it?
Yeah, to lift.
Yeah. So he must have... I don't know how he got from A to the floor.
Yeah. Because he was like...
Yeah, so
he opened the gate.
He must have opened the gate clear because there's no way he had his arm on it and fell.
Yeah.
You can't
open the gate and just collapsed.
But then he collapsed. But then all I can see is his face.
So it's like his head's trapped in between.
It just opened,
so
but he's on the floor.
Through.
Okay, yeah, he made it through. But I think because he must have lost his balance, he just fell. So then I'm like, rah, how did you get on the floor? Like, so now I'm like, Mom's like, hola, I'm sick. Hola's running down.
I'm pissed because now I have to be the hero.
So Hola's like, blood, I'm from Birmingham. Lift up my man in it. So my man starts going to my mum.
Hold on, before we get there. So mind you, Josh was outside with a guy first,
Yeah, so I went to just go and
I'm
help
at
mom.
The window watching,
I
know,
went to go help
enjoying
man straight
myself.
Away. I went to go help man straight away. My mum was like, no, COVID! Oh, shit, like,
so I'm watching, and then that's when it's gonna cause me.
I'm like, yeah. I don't really care. I was like, shit, my... Because I still don't know how... He got from A to the floor.
If someone's there, you're going to help him, innit?
Yeah, and then this is the thing about COVID. Like, even though he's in Nitty or whatever, he's still a person at the end of the day.
Yeah.
He's still a person. And now, me, I'm not all about that second guessing. If someone needs a hand, he needed a hand.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I love my mum and that, but she's old. But if that happened, my mum was there, she was just like, let it be. Other people, they'd be just like, rah.
Yo, I said to someone the other day as well, I said to her, listen, it's a good thing they fell outside Josh's house, you know. Real talk,
nah,
a lot of people
would
have left
true,
him.
Actually, yeah.
Like, I was like, you know what? He's on the floor. I was ready to just go and help, man. It was now we're all now second guessing. I wasn't second guessing, but everyone's second guessing.
My first guess was I'm
staying
upstairs.
The funniest... So we got man up. You started speaking that. The funniest thing is calling the ambulance service. The ambulance service. And no offence to the ambulance. And... clapping for the NHS, whatever. But the
long.
So the process of you to try and call the ambulance is not worth it.
Yeah.
They need to scrap it. They told me.
Because they asked you a bit of questions. Yeah.
They asked me if man's got a fever. I said no, because COVID, you're not allowed to touch. And then they asked me all
questions.
These mad questions. And I was like,
what's his name? The guy went speaking English, bro. He was speaking tongue. It was mad.
Because it cost them money to send out ambulances. So they need to clarify that, like, this person actually in need of it. And then they have, like, a kind of a
a service where it's like, if it's urgent, then boom, straight away.
Yeah.
If it's not that urgent where the person's
bro,
still conscious,
this is what we told him. The guy's fell. He's definitely hit his head. He's got blood on his face, blood on his hands. He's not making sense. And it's COVID. I don't know what more needs to be said for an emergency.
Bro.
Nah, trust.
But eventually they didn't come out. And I don't know if you saw my video when I was in Birmingham and I did of that guy I found on the floor.
Nah, I didn't see it.
Where people were saying he looked like Manir.
Oh yeah, I said that I thought of
guy was just on a bro, mind you, I was on crutches these times, yeah. So I'm hobbling on my way home after work and that. I was doing one-handed as well, like X Games and that, like skills and that. Anyway, I walked past this guy and I was just like, oh, I can't leave him here, man.
Yeah.
Bro, if I had my 2 feet, I would have left him, bro. Because I was in an unfortunate position. He kind of dawns on you, fuck, you can't leave this guy here. I poke him a bit. I was like, yo, you can't sleep there, man. And then the guy's like, woke up, threw up. I was like, oh, shit. Okay, call the police. Because obviously, this isn't an emergency. Mm. So I'm like, all right, call the police. Maybe they'll take him home. Because he doesn't look like he's hurt himself, but he could be in danger if he's left this. So I'm like, all right, cool. They just told me, nah, call the ambulance. This ain't our job.
Rah.
Rah.
I want to know how people leave their friends in that state, because I've never left any of us have never been in a state where one person's ever been left.
And trust me,
I don't think we would leave anyone either.
I don't think so. Like,
I remember having to drive certain man home after Park Life. Not you. Remember Park Life? Someone had a really, really good experience / bad experience.
I don't know.
Which Park Life?
Our southern friend. I don't want to say his name.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It took me. I don't know. You that's clocked. Not main click though.
Yeah, but still, you weren't leaving him.
Yeah, I wouldn't leave him, but I wouldn't leave him. But I'm talking about like.
But that's the worst I've seen anyone of us in any situation.
You know who he's talking about?
I think so.
Yeah, I know who he's talking about. But like, I don't know. I've never really seen.
I don't think any of us have been in. Well, then again.
Not like that where we need to bring an ambulance or anything.
Nah, there's one of us that I've seen get to that state, but he's never been left.
You talking about Manir?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say, I know Manir's
been
I
want to say his name, Blunt. Fuck you.
Yeah, but then I'm trying to think, because I was terrible at brunch.
Bro, when we went to Newcastle, the guy apparently, like, I didn't leave him, because I was in a different planet. I didn't even know how I got... afterwards, my stories, bro. This guy sent videos, and I'm like, bro,
he sent me some videos where I was
the
like...
The guy got stopped by the police because he was walking home with a cold and shit like that.
My mum was holding a cold.
He's done that time when we was walking home from Hot Mess.
And he threw in a canal.
But honestly, if I was with him, I wouldn't have known. But if I was with him, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't in the right state. It was my birthday. I was...
Plus, I think he was on his ones. As well,
he was on his ones.
You can imagine just some random guy walking with a flipping cut coat, filming himself and stuff. Bro. Yeah, mad.
That's so funny, man.
Might have to bleep his name.
Bro, he's gonna know who we are.
Where were we up to before?
We're up to we'll kind of cover before we get to Australia, but to kind of cover the round experience with holidays, it is exactly what it looks like. It's just coming with the expectation of. Like, yo, this is someone else's country. So there's certain set rules you need to follow and understand that it's not going to be as easy if you plan to have an extended period of stay. This ain't a holiday. You're traveling and you're basically one of them. And certain things they're going to exploit the same way we exploit. Like, real talk, there's man who are shot in and that year to certain Spanish students in that year. And what they're going to do, they're trying to exploit them. Say, a 10 bag will probably be like double the price.
What is this?
No, that's what I'm saying, though. People will exploit people in England.
Okay.
Same way they try to exploit me as a traveller in different countries.
I don't know, because when foreign people come to England, not going to lie, never heard not one foreigner that is our age when it comes to, like, partying or food. I love this country.
Yeah, but
they love it because the restrictions are different, though.
No, but I've never heard someone get extorted.
Do you know you've been extorted if you're a foreigner?
You know.
No, but how do you know? If someone charged me a price of something and I don't know the price of it and I've bought it.
I don't know. I feel like you have a general idea.
What things should cost.
Yeah, I think.
You ready to ask?
Well, look at this here. When people go to Spain, they get fleeced all the time.
From?
In Ibiza. It's the fleecing capital.
But Ibiza's different though, because those are like, that's everyone.
Everybody knows that. So it's like one of them, like, you just said Ibiza. but everyone knows that you're going to spend 20 euros for a bottle of water.
Mm.
You already got that consumption that you're going.
Yeah.
You already know that.
Whereas if you don't have the local knowledge and you're...
So imagine, have you ever heard a foreigner come to England and told you they paid £8 for Volvic? That'd be,
that'd be sensational.
Even me, like, I get a bit vexed when I buy a bottle of Volvic from a sweet shop and they charge me £1.50 because it's in town.
Because it should be £1.
Yeah. That's the only time I'm like, I just got fleets, but that's city centre prices.
Mm-hmm.
But you've never heard someone that's come to this country and come and tell you, I got a taxi.
It might just
and
be the taxi, a thing then.
The taxi driver, the only thing I've heard about taxi drivers, and it's not even just foreigners, it happens to anyone, where Uber drivers take the long route or wait for you to pass out.
Or black cab.
£4
already, haven't moved.
But everybody gets that. Yeah. But you've never been where foreigners come and they be like, I've been to a restaurant, they charge me double the price.
I think because our things are kind of set. I'm on about like, okay, so with the service charge thing, coming into that expectation, I know when Connor went, he had no issues with it, but we know what Connor's like. He will throw all the money down if he has to. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was like, right, I'm actually living here. This isn't just a holiday. I'm here for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And then every meal, like, I'm staying in a beautiful villa, so I'm cooking. You know, I like to chef it up anyway, but I want to go out and taste your culture. I want to be outside as much as possible.
Mm.
And every single meal, even a sandwich from a flipping panini shop, there's a service charge on it. I'm like, rah, this is mad. But you don't, no one tells you about this when you go, like, oh, go to Bali, it's amazing, yeah?
But I understand that because now it's got a fluctuation of people. I get it.
Yeah,
but for me, Thailand, not just that, like, for me, Thailand, not everyone was begging me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love Thailand. They were trying to beg me for, like, my custom, but not for my money.
Mm.
And that's one thing I appreciate about that place more. But Bali, it's a lot more open space, a lot less high tower cities. It's great. Go and experience it. But, yeah, just it depends what you go for, really. But one place that I kind of regret not going to is Malaysia and the Philippines. But I'm planning a trip to the Philippines at some point, and Malaysia. I know a girl was having a wedding over there, so automatic invite as well. So perfect.
Nice.
But then the travels kind of took me over to Australia.
We've got like 20-ish minutes left. So do you want to talk about Australia and content, or do you want to?
Because
I don't know how long the Australia. Because I know Australia was eventful.
Yeah, it was eventful. Yeah, we'll skip it.
It's up to you. You can talk about the...
Before this circulates over.
All I want to ask is Australia really the land of opportunity where a lot of expats go and think like, I'm going to go Australia and I'm going to come back with the maddest peas, or I'm going to come back and... I don't know, because I've heard... There's two places I've heard, like Dubai and Australia.
Yeah.
And it's got that consumption where I can go to Australia and now I'm going to spend 4 years and come back with 100K and I'm going to buy a house. Is that the truth?
Depends.
Mm.
If you go out there on your own, live on your own and do all of that, no, because all your money will be spent on living. You'll save like any other job in England, but you won't come back with an exponential amount. If two of you went, got a place together, nice and cheap, or maybe a place of four, and if you lived shitty for a period of time, you will come back with P. It's that's the best way to do it. It's like, if you know now, if you stayed in a shitty place and you were working, saving money, you're going to come back with a lot.
What's the standard of living like, though? Even if you're living in somewhere that's not as good?
A bit of a mix. Like, my standard of living was great out there. And I was earning great money for a job that I wasn't working hard for. And it was all local, all convenient. And there is so many access to money. Like, the opportunities are larger because there's a lot less people. And there's always that influx. So they actually profit from expats. foreigners, basically. They profit from it. So if you think about the churning over of... How many people work in the hospitality scene that are expats? How many people work in the farms who are expats? How many people end up settling here because they've got like an uncle that used to be Australian at one point? So their culture is heavily based on the foreigners. And you got to remember as well, Australia has a lot of Chinese and Thai people there, and Indonesians, like a lot. That is where they end up settling up. So they need all the foreigners. So of course, there's always going to be opportunities. Money-wise, the money is great. Like, I can't knock it. Like, the money's flipping great. What players who play football here at a very low semi-pro club, going over there can be playing high leagues, earning a lot of money.
Is that true? Because I always look at, like, people leaving the Prem to go to these countries abroad.
No, not
the
Prem.
We've always got that, or even leaving and going to play abroad. We've always got that misconception where You don't.
I think you just made up a word.
Misconception.
Oh, yeah.
Misconception.
Hello, yeah. That's the good. What I just said. Made up a word.
Jacob, spell that out on the screen. But I always get that where people go abroad don't get that much money if they stay in England. Because it's not as... If you need to think, the reason why English players get paid that much, it's because of like sponsorships and mm-hmm. the TV. And it's the same like NBA, isn't it? Revenue. So then when I look at like Australia and China, I think who's actually watching these games?
Depends
you're
on the league.
Getting a lot of money, but like you said, that's why England always get more. But if you're leaving England and you're in the Prem to go to Australia, you got to ask yourself some big questions.
Yeah, if you're at that level, you're not going to go. But if
you
you're,
never would.
Like you said, semi-pro, and you're going to Australia, then it'd be different.
A lot of players go when they either 18s got released from a club, and then Australia's first like Prem teams were like, yeah, we'll take you on. Mm-hmm. Because first of all, that's more money than this kid's ever seen because he's never played at that level yet. And secondly,
and the standard of life.
I get to travel and it's one of them ones, but Australia's Australian.
Is it racist?
That's one of the questions. I never experienced a single inch of racism, like more than I would have experienced here.
I don't know. I don't really suffer that much racism here.
No. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, a slight discrimination you may have faced at some point, whether it's the awkward, you know, when you're in a nice area, like a really open area, and then they look at you dressed casual and they're like, you know that look?
Mm.
That's the most I had to experience. But they actually loved me more because one, I was black. Two, I trained and I went gym and stuff like that. And three, because I was from England to them. So.
Okay.
I didn't experience any racism, but you do hear the story though.
I've heard some crazy stories.
Although though, one of my first football, my third football game out there, experienced hella racism from the ref because some of the challenges that were coming into me, were making me want to like lose my composure and, you know, bleep this one out, but go on them. You know what I'm saying? Like really come out. And the ref, and I speak to him and he was like, you speak to me again, I'll send you off this pitch. I'm like, wow, this ain't football. Now you've actually got a vendetta against me. I'm not from this place, so I'm not talking to no one like they're my best friend. I'm just playing my game. But it looked like he had a personal vendetta against me. And then I just thought, you know what? Yeah, it's kind of obvious when I'm looking at other players get away with murder. And then I'm just here like, but then I speak and just ask him a question. They showed him footage of a challenge that went into me. And then he was like, I don't want to see it. Bro, this is VAR. Before it was VAR, bro. I'm helping you out.
They have VAR for some
week? They practiced all the VAR in America, but this was someone recording. And they recorded it, and I was like, right, okay, cool. I'll show it to him. Didn't even want to know. Didn't want to talk to me. And I was like, why have you got beef with me? I just keep my mouth quiet and play my game. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Content.
But yeah, moving on, because obviously, you're now a content creator. Or you probably always have... I feel like everybody's kind of... who's out there and has a personality is kind of being a content creator. It's whether you now focus into putting more energy into your craft and making it a thing. That's something you've been doing for the past, I don't know how long.
I'd say 12 months from the day I started. My friend Lou kind of put me on and he kind of just said, yo. Well, actually, no. My friend Kevin, who's in Belgium, he's been telling us for a long time, we've got personality and people are getting paid for their personality.
Yeah.
People are getting exposure from their personality. Why aren't we?
Yeah.
So I was like, well, it's only just dawned on us that, yo, we can do this. And I'm fucking hilarious. You know what I mean? that's a given. It was just about how can I channel this amount of creativity into something that I enjoy doing and I know others will enjoy or kind of understand my point of view from. Like with you guys, you're a creative group as well. You come together and you create a podcast. Liverpool Recording Studios as well has done the exact same thing. It's creating, using your creativeness and putting it out there. For me, I just wanted to make people laugh, smile, and just, I don't know, kind of understand or get understand a political, what to call it, BLM or shit like that, a political agenda joke kind of thing. And sometimes I like to trigger people. It just depends on how I feel on the day, really. But... I kind of got into that because the bougie side of Instagram was portraying that you're always partying, posting pictures of you trying to look nice, posting me being heavily into fitness in the gym and that, showing off whatever. It was just bag of thirst trapping. So when I see now, and it might be just because I'm older as well now, but when I see a lot of girls posting a certain type of picture, man, I've been doing this for a long time, so we know what these pictures mean.
Yeah.
We analyze a single picture from any girl posts a picture. We can analyze it right now and break it down and tell you her birthday, the next event, if she's single, if she's recently broken up.
Okay, so we've said this on the pod before, where we can tell, but I think girls can tell things, where if some a girl who takes a photo, you can tell they're on a date.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
The whole arm thing, whereas
not even just the arm thing.
Oh, just showing off that they're out, but they don't show who they're with.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah.
There's bare telltale signs.
There is.
And who are you doing it for? If you're like putting someone in your story, you know what, you want to floss a little bit, you want to show off. But if you're posting it on your page, and this is what I was kind of like dead about. It was like, right, I'm posting this stuff on my page for who? And it was fun, because don't get it twisted, like the attention you get from the opposite sex, the first trapping, or at the same time exposing the competition and going, right, I've done well in this, or I've achieved something, blah, blah, blah. But I kind of just said, you know what, everyone knows me well enough, that you know, like, bro, man's body's nice. It's nice, you get me? But at the same time, my personality is a lot more.
Shit. Yo, your first trap supreme, you, man.
Hey! Yeah. I used to be.
Man,
I used to be.
That's what you still do first trap.
No.
I think he's cutting down.
I throw the one thing on the story and now, like, I got you, bitch. But now, it's like, I care more about the content because that stays. That's the funny side of me because, bro, I love jokes. I love funny. Like, how much banter do we always get around each other? Mm. Like, why aren't we? Why do I have to show someone when you look at my picture, my post, and think, oh, all I am is just an attractive guy? Like, there's more substance. It's because he knows me. That's why. What? Am I lying?
What, you're lying?
Am I lying?
I don't know. Yeah,
this guy did
you. You're telling two lies today, on this podcast.
Today, this guy had to describe me in words, and he was like,
"Do you know what's actually mad, fam? The guy says to me, it was so random. He's like, yo, Josh, how many words would you describe me?
No. It's like, describe me in a couple of words. So I'm on the phone to someone and they've asked me a question. What would your friends, it's for like the show thing. So I'm like, all right, cool. You know what? I'm with one of my friends now. I'll let him answer it. Josh is there chilling on the couch. I'm like, all right, cool. Josh, describe me. And I get the guy to say it again so Josh knows someone's on the phone. Mm. And he's like, is this for a job interview? Why would I? And the way I was talking was very relaxed to this person.
You get, when you get some set people that you can talk to, man said, describe me. I looked at him like, hey. If I describe you right now, you're
Jesus. Nah. That's exposing describing.
Why describe
me? I'm going to lose the job.
So the guy was like saying, he's a leader. You know when you hear the lies in a voice? And I'm like, bro, you don't have to like try and sell. You're not selling a mortgage.
It took me like 2 minutes to think he's a leader. It took the fist, bro. Because I thought, if I say what I need to say, fam, it'll be over for my
life. Obviously, that was what man used to be on kind of thing.
Yeah.
So now it's like, there's a certain level of understanding of what I want to achieve, where the direction of everything's going kind of thing. And I get more and more clarity as time goes by that I don't need a thing to now look at my Instagram and go, he's not really dressed like whatever, or he's not got money or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't need that. Like, fam.
Past that kind of thing.
Bro, for real, like, man have hit milestones that we don't need to worry about, or like, man have got impressions of people that, rah, when you know one of them ones where if someone meets you in person that they get gassed.
Mm.
Like, I can't wait to see that person again. That's the kind of image and personality I want to continue to vibe off. I don't want someone to just look at my Instagram and automatically judge me and go, right, I know this person, someone I want to chill with, someone I want to vibe with, or he's only good looking, or he just likes to party a lot. I used to get a lot of bad rep, you know. I didn't realize this, but like you said, it was just first trapping, like, oh bro, like, rah, is that it?
I think everyone gets that, because a lot of people say when they meet us, they didn't expect us to be like the way we are. Especially some people that have came on the pod before they came on. They were a bit scared of how we are. Mm. They didn't think how we would be and how welcoming we would be. But I feel like this pod just brings us, it shows us our...
This pod shows your personality so much more to the people that don't know you.
Yeah, to the people who don't know us.
Yeah, but then they overly think that they know us.
Yeah,
and then it's like you get where people are like, I'm very nervous. And then there's set people that think, oh shit, I know you now. Me and you, like.
Yeah, they don't want to try and be too buddy. And
like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm okay with it. But like there's a lot more things that we actually have and we like, and we have experiences that we don't talk on the pod.
Yeah.
And it's not the main things that we speak on the pod. Because I'm not going to lie, I'm very weird, like, but the pod don't show that. Yeah. And a lot of people don't know that side as well. Only you, man.
But they think, people. But they think they know you, so then they start.
Yeah. It's the same. Like, there's certain topics that, like, I could speak about that I'd only speak about in the, those kind of areas.
Mm.
Like, for example, if I was to speak on a different platform, they might ask me to speak about politics, or they might ask me to speak about science or whatever. But this kind of, it's like what you're saying. You want to now just focus your kind of content and portray yourself in a way where people are like, oh, actually, he's not just this, like, one box 100%. Kind of thing.
But so, you know what's mad? Like, people also think, yeah, because I bust joke, yeah, they won't get clapped down on the street. But what's wrong with you, man? Bro, some people try to drop some bars, you know, like, thinking, oh, he's just Mr. Funny. Nah, listen, hey, I come from a different walk of life, you know. But at the same time, for me, the content is... It's like, I was saying to Josh the other day, unfortunately, I ain't even going to say the company's name because I'm not promoting their work. It is what it is. But I've done some work for them, and we've come back and forth for the past couple of months. And they're paying me for the work I've done for them, but it's not going to be advertised or even promoted because they sent me two different products to work with. And if you send me two things, I don't know, I'm just picking up the first thing and making a video for it.
Yeah.
I'm pissed off because both videos were great and funny, and it got to show like a more... commercial advertising side of myself, and that's why I kind of like, I was like, yeah, sick. But this is all from just bussing joke and chatting shit and sometimes saying things that trigger people, like, bro, like, I say some real stuff, like, there's some real stuff that's gonna upset women sometimes, and certain men are like,
stuff.
Exposed. Like, bro, even that Forex thing, bud, that joke I made about the Forex traders,
that was funny, I like,
bro,
that.
So I messaged me, bro, man, it's funny, but you're exposing, man. I'm like, yeah, I know, that's the whole point.
But that's the whole thing about comedy, though. You're meant to enter realms that... That's the thing about comedy. It's truthful, but you make a joke of it. You make light of it.
So. Nothing's ever like...
But this is the area that we're in now.
Yeah,
these people get... Comedies, everyone's second-guessing comedy.
But no, I
love
it.
Triggering people. I love it. It's hilarious because it's like you were really offended by something that wasn't that big of a deal or a joke, or it was just a joke that you put... like. I made a joke about, I did a video with my friend Matt. It was just pictures with words back and forth, like where it goes, there you go, go, can't make a wife out of a hoe.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was making a joke that he asked me, I just saw you, he said, I just saw your girl holding another guy's hand. And I'm like, which one? No, I asked him the names, Abby, Emily, or Stacey, or whatever like that. And he was like, Emily. I was like, Emily, Emily from the gym, Emily from work, or Emily this? And he goes, Emily from work. Wait, Emily with a big back or Emily with a small back, so a big breast or whatever. And he was like, Emily with a big back. Emily with a big back brunette or big back blonde. Basically to say that I've got this amount of girls here, you need to highlight which one it is. And then one girl got triggered by that. And I was like, you do know it's a joke, right? You do know I'm literally playing on that misogynistic thing that men are trash. I'm actually on your team here. And then she just went off on one. And I just thought, rah, I'm just going to go at you then. Like, if you want to come facts with facts, yeah, I can tell you why men are trash, but I can also tell you why women are recycled. Like, we can go back and forth on that one.
Jesus.
Actually, can I ask you a question? So what's your... So what you just said with jokes, what's your thoughts on blackface if it was for comedy?
I wouldn't... It depends. So, like, I personally wouldn't laugh at that.
I would. Right. I think it's very funny. I'm not.
You think blackface is funny?
Do you know why I would have laughed at that?
Blackface in terms of comedy, you need to think we came from the era where dressing up as different races was funny.
Nah, but I've never found it funny.
I used to laugh at them Little Britain sketches, and I used to laugh at like when Little Miss Jocelyn, even though she's black, she used to dress up as different characters.
Yeah. Now that's that a bit different though.
But blackface. It's still blackface though.
The only ever time not I've really. Seen a reverse, it's not blackface.
Blackface is when someone who isn't black paints themselves. I'm portrayed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No. Like, but it's not even always for comedy, though.
I'm talking about, I said comedy.
Oh, for a comedy sense.
I said comedy because Eddie Murphy used to do whiteface before whiteface was a thing.
But whiteface is not even a thing.
It's never a thing because Dave Chappelle tried in the Chappelle show where he would powder himself and he would wear like the white hair and then he played a white reporter. But that still didn't have the same dramatic effect as he would have liked because nowadays with comedians, if you wanted to play like a white guy, just what you got to do is just get the fake hair.
Yeah,
and then you're a white guy, but without ever having to paint your face. So I think with white people, like if a white person wanted to portray a black guy, do a good job from it and everyone will laugh. Because they're look how accepting now we are of everyone involving themselves in the culture. That girl who does the Afro beats dance that I sing to you from time to time.
Bro,
that's why the...
Love Babe or something.
Tag her in this thing still.
Yeah, she's Romanian.
You could tell. Tag her in the thing.
Also... interesting concept. I was speaking to somebody the other day about racism and how white people have racism. I think it was you.
I don't know.
Where, why is it that Western Europeans think they're more superior to the same white people who are Eastern European?
Nah, it wasn't to me.
That might be just because of the dynamics of how their culture is, because USSR, what it was at the time before it became just Russia.
But they're still white though, innit?
Yeah, we as maybe as an like black community might see them as just white and see everyone as just white, but Polish people don't see themselves as white.
Yeah.
And I was saying this to your mom actually earlier on, because Polish people were seen as black people in the Haiti revolution, like within the Haitian revolution. They all settled up there and they were seen as part of them, because they weren't accepted in their own places. Now, for whatever reason it is, those people don't see, like, Westerners don't see certain Europeans who are white as white. I will never understand that, because it's all white to me and you're all black. It's like us going, we see someone from Sudan and not saying he's black, or you see one of the Aborigines.
So I seen something on Twitter, it's mad that you said that, but some East Africans don't see themselves
as African. Yeah, I saw that as well. I was baffled. Don't
see themselves as African or black. African,
nah, they were like saying something along the lines of like East Africans, even though we're in Africa, like we don't have the same issues, or we don't face the same problems as other black Africans.
It's mad,
I was like,
but I've heard that you do, because
East Africa is Kenya, it's Tanzania, it's like Sudan, it's yeah, you do.
Even
if you go somewhere else, no one's gonna go, you know what, they're East African.
But it's mad, growing up, I'm not gonna say what part of East Africa, but I've met a couple that when they want to
get better.
No, not
they're
better.
Not
they don't think they're African.
Wow.
It's mad. It's not the first time I've heard this.
And I've heard that as well.
You know what?
It's not the 10th time I've heard that. I've heard
when
it a
comes
lot
to
of times.
Culture and association, don't people always choose what they want to see themselves as? Have you ever asked them what they saw themselves as? What culture or background they saw themselves from?
Who?
The East Africans. Because if they don't see themselves as African and they see themselves as something unique, what is it?
I don't know what they see themselves.
Well, I don't want to say the where they're from, but that specific one on Twitter gave the region, like the ethnicity region.
Yeah. And it's that region that I've had
the same discussion.
Yeah. And a lot of them actually don't consider themselves African. It's not the first time I've seen that.
Well, what about the situation with Monaco and France?
What do you mean?
Monaco is separate to France, but when it comes to like football and sporting events, their French players play for France.
But no, don't they have a team? I swear Monaco have their
not in an international sense.
But it's the same like as
their
Spain
team.
And
no, but if you're from, I get what you mean. But if you're still from Monaco, it's like being from.
Like you get a flight, you can get a flight to Monaco, which is separate.
Yeah.
And you can get a flight to one of the French tourism places.
It's like the same as Spain and Catalan.
No.
Yes and no, because Catalan's in Spain though.
But they've not separated just yet.
Yeah, but there are some people who would say they're Catalonian though, and not Spanish. Yeah. But that's all. Like, we need to round it up. But time has flown. Time has really flown. Yeah, no. But where can the people find you?
Instagram at the moment. When COVID's done, I can start recording some of my YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a wave. But Instagram is the main spot. You'll find me on the King_Sapara. That's where the banter's at still. And if I say something that offends you,
it's a joke.
Nah, go fuck yourself.
Oh,
nah, I'm joking.
In the words of Pastor Toby, offending and Fendi.
But I wanted to kind of say, like, your last show with Mr. Green was very good, but the one before that, I listened to it the other day with the footballer. What's his name?
Hanok.
Bro, bring him back in. I need to know more.
Yeah, lots of people have said.
Everyone's asking for it.
We're going to do a part two with him in the future.
Yeah. Make definitely. Sure. Yeah. I'll sit outside with a cup and it's screaming. Yeah. I need to know more, man. But
definitely. Have you, man, got anything to plug as well?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even get the chance to, but thanks to everyone because I asked it. Well, we, as a group, we asked a few people to leave reviews and stuff on Apple and stuff, but we ain't had a chance to read them out on this episode, but we will next time.
Yeah, man.
But you can find us on the usual platforms.
They said front left is the light of their lives.
They did.
They said they're at the front. I said front where? They said front there. I said, oh, they say hey.
Well, yeah, that's the front left podcast. Over and out.
Same.